Hour number two, Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5, the game on the Game Nashville app and thegamenashville.com. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Marquise Munson hanging out with you on a Monday, and we say hello to Teresa Walker. She covers all things Nashville sports for the AP. She's a Hall of Fame writer and a Hall of Fame person as well. Teresa, what's up?
Well, thank you, Chase. With that intro, it's like, what do you need? What do you want? I'm happy to help.
Absolutely. So before we get into the Titans, obviously one of the big news items of the NFL day is Cam Newton signing the one-year deal with the New England Patriots. I'm going to be honest with you. I thought that Jadeveon Clowney could get signed as long as that has taken before Cam Newton lands somewhere. But ultimately, I'm not surprised that it's the New England Patriots. I kind of figured that would be what would eventually happen. But what were your thoughts on Newton signing?
Well, exactly. Ever since Andy Dalton went to the Cowboys, that seemed to just open up a path to the to New England for Cam. And here's the thing: with a quarterback, you want to get him in because now that he's signing, you can start sending him playbook stuff, and you can get that information in his hands so that when they report for training camp, he'll have had a chance to go through that and get up to speed with what they're doing and familiarize himself a bit with the Patriots. Let's face it, Clowney, that's something that, one, there's familiarity with because he knows some of the coaches on this roster. His best season was when Mike Vrabel was his coordinator in Houston. He's played for he knows like Anthony Midgett. I think I'm remembering he knows Shane Bowen from Houston as well. So and it's a defense that, let's face it, he should be very familiar with because this time in Houston. So, in defense too, you're pointing a guy saying go. Offense, you have to know what the other 10 guys are doing. And, there's some of that on defense as well. You got to know the guys to your side and everything. It's a lot more to learn on offense than defense. So I'm not too surprised it can happen before Clowney. I'll be honest, I'm expecting Clowney to be a deal that goes done maybe the week the Titans, if the Titans do sign him, that the week of training camp, no matter who signs Jadeveon Clowney.
So when it comes to the Titans and Jadeveon Clowney, where are you on that? Have you wavered at all? Do you think they're the best fit? Have you thought that and now you don't? Where are you at this point on Clowney?
I still think that the Tennessee Titans are the best fit for Clowney because this is a team that played the AFC Championship, now understands what they have to try to do to go that next step. And you can tell Clowney, you can be the guy that gets us there. Show him that clip of Patrick Mahomes running past a, banged up Tennessee Titans defense and up the sideline to the key touchdown in that championship game and say, if you were on the field, you could have helped stop this. We win that game. Titans had a lead in that game. Let's not forget that. So you tell them, you can be the key to get us to the Super Bowl. You can help us win the Super Bowl. You can be that X factor for us. You're in this defense. You know Mike Vrabel. You know him. It would just be perfect at that point. And that's the thing. You sell him on that. But, you don't have to get that deal done until you're close to camp because, there's still some travel restrictions going on around. And we're at a point where, coaches and stuff, it's vacation time. Granted, we all can't go to a beach or something or do the kind of vacations we might want to. But this is the last time for the NFL to have an off time before they try to crank up their season. And, they've actually had an off season that wasn't that different from what they'd normally do, except that coaches were only allowed to get in the building here the last 2 to 3 weeks of the off season program. So, this is the quiet time of the NFL. So it's not unusual that nothing is happening right now. And let's be honest, Chase, the biggest reason Cam Newton was, that news came out last night was most likely to divert from the $1.1 million fine and giving up a third round draft pick for the Patriots. Otherwise, we might not hear about Cam for another 2-3 weeks.
I never thought that Cam was going to go, and I mean, you can call it a quarterback competition all you want. He's going to be the starter for the New England Patriots, but I never thought that he was going to go somewhere necessarily and take a backup. I didn't think the Titans would look at him at the backup position, but I do have concerns at backup quarterback, and that's been an ongoing discussion on this show and other shows about what it's going to look like behind Ryan Tannehill. I know they're very high on Logan Woodside, but do you still think that there is a chance as they get closer to training camp especially with the unknowns of the schedule, how many preseason games they're going to have, that they could potentially bring another quarterback in?
I think there's another quarterback coming in, but I don't think it's until after we've had the first two preseason games. You know, they have made it very clear, John Robinson and Arthur Smith, they like Logan Woodside. They want to see what they have in him. And if they go sign a veteran quarterback, you know, forget if it's Colin Kaepernick or, you know, whoever it is, it makes it tougher because it's going to limit the snaps in camp. But, you want to see what you've got in Logan Woodside shooting Cole McDonald, but Logan Woodside, you know, they've talked so well about Logan Woodside. You know, he was, you know, helping them during the week last year, even though he was hurt on the practice squad. He was, you know, charting games for them on the sideline during the season. So, you know, now they want to see what they have in him, you know, beyond what they saw in training camp last year, but beyond what they saw on tape from the AAF days that he had, those few games, and they want to see. That's the thing. Yeah, you know, they like him a lot over there. And, you know, obviously it's a lot different from, you know, when he's the number three guy to when he's competing to be the number two. So you want to see how he handles that. The benefit, if Logan Woodside steps up and handles the job and they want him to be the backup, he's going to be a whole lot cheaper than any veteran that you could bring in at this point. For a team that is probably needing to save some money, you still have to get a Derrick Henry deal done. You know, you're trying to get a Jadeveon Clowney if you possibly can. And we don't know what, with the pandemic, what the salary cap's going to look like next year and what kind of hit the NFL is having to work around. So any money you can save will be a good thing for them, which is one reason why they are very willing to ride this and see what Logan Woodside can do for them.
Teresa, last week I filled in for Jared on the afternoon show, so I was with Floyd all week, and we had some fun with this question when we would talk Titans with people, so I'll ask you the same one. Who do you think faces the bigger challenge this season? Is it sophomore A.J. Brown, or is it Corey Davis going into a contract year?
Oh, it's Corey Davis, because Corey Davis is, you know, A.J. Brown's got a couple more years under contract, let's not forget. So this is going to be his second season, and, you know, I very much want to see what A.J. Brown can do with an extra, you know, six games or whatever it was that he didn't play with Ryan Tannehill as the starting quarterback. We saw what they did together. So, I mean, I'm expecting, you know, if not the, at least the same out of A.J. Brown and possibly an even better season this year because of the added benefit of six games. But Corey Davis, you know, Titans love him, you know, and they love what a key piece he is of that offense. John Robinson said, though, you know, he had a long talk with Corey Davis about why they weren't picking up his fifth-year option. That's a ton of money for a guy who was second on the team in catches and yards last season to a rookie. You know, he was a fifth pick overall, and, you know, at this point he hasn't earned that fifth-year contract, not from the Titans, and all the pressure is on him to go show what he can do this year, because if it's not the Titans wanting to sign him next year, it's another team, and, you know, Corey Davis is going to be in a earn-it situation, so I put the pressure there.
Talking to Teresa Walker from the Associated Press and talking some Titans, some NFL. So, Teresa, with the signing of Newton, I'm really curious what that does to the AFC picture, how it relates to the Titans. It's already a pretty stacked conference when you look at it, with the Ravens looking very tough, the Chiefs obviously very tough. But if the Patriots can sustain to some degree how good they've been, that's going to make an awfully crowded AFC.
Oh, of course. But, you know, last year Patriots had Tom Brady. So, you know, the NFL, especially now with the quarterback quality in the AFC, I mean, you know, Mahomes and Jackson, I mean, we're talking about the last two NFL MVPs in your conference and the teams that you're going to have to deal with. But they went into Baltimore, and I don't care what Lamar Jackson said about them, you know, maybe overlooking the Titans. And trust me, I can't imagine that's not been sent to everybody's iPads, you know, social medias, whatever. You know, if I'm Mike Vrabel, I have that printed up and put on the hallway, you know, or in meeting rooms, you know, to remind them of that all season long. But, you know, they went to Baltimore. They beat Tom Brady in New England. They beat Lamar Jackson in Baltimore. They had a lead in Kansas City over Patrick Mahomes. So, you know, yeah, they could use a little bit of help on defense holding that lead, and that's an area that they're hoping to improve in. So, yes, competition's tough, but you know, remember back in the day while Steve McNair and Eddie George were trying to get to a Super Bowl, they had to go against the Ravens, and it was, you know, Trent Dilfer and some of those quarterbacks. I mean, you know, not exactly guys who were lighting it up in the quarterback stacks, but they were going up against one of the best NFL defenses in league history in 2000. So, you know, each year, each season brings its own challenges, and the Titans have shown already that they can handle that. You know, and you know, they've got a guy named Ryan Tannehill who, you know, I know everybody wants to see, can he do that again? But, you know, guess what? He may not match the numbers he had last year. He may not lead the league in passer rating. But guess what? He can still have a better season in some areas because I think he's going to have a chance to throw for more yards, maybe more touchdowns this year. So, you know, don't sleep on the guy that the Titans have.
Give me your thoughts, Teresa, on the reshaping of the front office, the moves that the Titans announced on Friday.
Very interesting. You know, bringing in Melendez, I'm trying to remember his name correctly. You know,
Surf.
That's first time. Yeah, thank you. They have somebody now as a creative director. The one thing we've heard over the last decade is how stale things were getting at Nissan Stadium. You know, it's like, well, the Predators do it so much better. They keep, and you know, the Titans, give them credit, have been trying to address that in the last two, three seasons. But when you hire a creative director whose last job was working at Hard Rock Stadium with the Dolphins, where you're fighting with the beach and golf courses for people to get attention on your team. And then, oh, yes, he's got a background with Adidas. That tells me that Amy Adams Strunk and the Titans are serious about, you know, upping their game and making sure that they give people their entertainment dollar when they're coming for, you know, football games. So, and then, you know, Adolfo Birch, I mean, guys, how brilliant is that of a move? Not only is he a black man, but he's got serious ties in this community. I mean, aside from the fact that he went to Father Ryan with Jimmy Wyatt, you know, his father was the first black Chief Justice of the Tennessee Supreme Court. You know, you say Birch, and, you know, Adolfo Birch in Nashville, and you usually are thinking of his father first, but, you know, this Birch is somebody who has, you know, a quarter century of experience with the NFL, understands how the NFL office works, and he's going to come here and work with local and state government. What did we hear before Steve Underwood and Amy Adams Strunk took over? That people here in Nashville didn't know the Titans. They didn't have somebody that they could reach out to and contact and you know, express their concerns or communicate with. Mr. Birch is going to help solve that because he's got relationships in this town. He's got relationships with the NFL, and that kind of fills, you know, with Steve Underwood retiring, that helps fill that gap of local knowledge, local connections. I mean, this is Tennessee. It is. Did you grow up here? You know, who are you related to? And, you know, that kind of connection is invaluable, particularly for an NFL team, guys, that, you know, I know that Nashville is going to be bidding to host the NFL draft again in, what, either 23, 24. But guess what? Another thing that is on the to-do list, this franchise has got a facility, you know, expansion that's underway. Well, the stadium, Nissan Stadium, is kind of the next thing that has to be dealt with, modernized, upgraded, you know, put some bells and whistles in there, and you need somebody who can talk and maneuver that with government officials locally, then Mr. Birch is going to be the guy that fills that spot.
It's a welcome sight, no question. A lot of different avenues that this can help, that connection that you mentioned, Teresa. I do think the Titans have missed the boat on that the last few years. This should really be interesting. And along those lines, and you retweeted this, I had not seen it until I looked at what you put out there, the Titans delivering kind of a strong message, trying to continue to get the message out on that they're serious about race relations, and they used the local touch of going over to Fisk. They put some effort into this. I thought it was really well done.
Oh, it was incredibly well done, Willie. I mean, and then the words. Did you notice that they also quoted, besides Martin Luther King and some of the other people that they quoted in that, they also quoted one former NFL quarterback, Colin Kaepernick. Incredibly well done. I mean, from, you know, the intro from Mike Vrabel, you've got John Robinson speaking in there, Rashawn Evans, Ryan Tannehill, Kevin Byard, Daquan Jones. I mean, John Smith. I mean, it's so well done, you know, with the quotes on the screen so that you can read them, and if you're not listening to them, they talked about when they wrapped up their offseason program. Mike Vrabel, you know, he gave a very eloquent and passionate kind of statement. And then the Titans put out a statement from Amy Adams Trunk that they are supporting their players. They want to have this conversation and they want to keep it going. This video that they released today absolutely helps put it out there. One, that they're working, they're supporting their players. They're going to try to, you know, fight racism, try to help end it. And, you know, they put their money where their mouth is, essentially. They've made it as clear as can be where their stance is on this. So I loved watching it. It was, you know, we've seen some teams do this. I think last week I didn't see it, but Alabama did something with Nick Saban in it. But, you know, for the Titans, you know, if you thought that, oh, they're just making statements, what's next? Well, this was a nice little marker to say this is what we're planning, this is what we're doing, we're coming. You know, you may want more details, but this is a nice marker to say we're not going away.
Teresa Walker from the Associated Press, hey, we appreciate it as always, and I hope you and the family continue to stay safe.
Same for you both, and thank you so much, Chase and Willie.
Absolutely. Teresa Walker does a fantastic job, and as I introed her, she's a Hall of Fame writer and a Hall of Fame person, so appreciate her for taking the time. Willie, when we come back, Cam Newton, we'll get into some of that and what that means for the Patriots moving forward. It's Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Darren McFarland on vacation this week. So Willie D, Cam Newton, the story is he signs with the Patriots a one-year deal, a lot of incentives on that deal because it's a little over $1 million, but it could go up based on the incentives. The timing of this, though, is perfect. That's something that Marquise and I talked about on the rundown. Teresa brought it up because the report comes out, the punishment that they're going to get for what happened last year filming the Bengals sideline. So how about this, that, oh, hey, by the way, we've signed Cam Newton to overshadow everything?
Well, I to be honest, Tim Hasselbeck had been saying he thought it was a fit. And I wasn't sure if I saw – I mean, I guess I didn't see the fit going back a couple months, but you could probably go back 6 weeks, Chase. You remember when I asked Tim Hasselbeck about it. He says he said – he thought Cam Newton would end up in New England. So this has probably been in the works for a long time. So that is interesting with the timing. Now, the repeat offenders get taxed again, losing a draft pick with that. So I'm glad that there was some teeth in the punishment there of what they did. And it goes beyond just the draft pick and the fine, too. There is, you know, pretty substantial penalties there, you know, especially for the people that were on staff involved, right? They got, they're banned, right?
Yeah,
they're out of there. They gone.
They gone.
So, I'll tell you, my biggest question, though, and let me throw it at you guys. I don't know what they have planned, but they had to be thinking about this for a while. Are they going to give the keys to Cam Newton, or are they going to make him win the job? And the reason I ask that is because if you're going to have Cam Newton as your quarterback, it's a one-year deal. So do you set the offense around the way he has played his entire career? Because that comes with questions too. Is he healthy enough to get through a season playing the way he's always played, where he runs the ball a lot, he takes a lot of physical punishment? You know, one of the things that has made him so unique is he can take the punishment. He's so big. You know, he has been a very effective runner and passer as the combination, but can he still do that? Because if he can still do it, then you have to kind of tweak your offense accordingly, right? They were talking about it on SportsCenter last night, where Josh McDaniel has had the background of Tim Tebow, where he had some of those concepts. You know, Tebow wasn't overly effective, but he certainly can't pass like Cam can, but just the ability to use the quarterback as more of a power runner, right?
Yep.
That's what Cam Newton is. He's not a scrambler. He's a guy that you can just, you know, act like almost a tailback or a fullback even, you know, and create those matchups on the line of scrimmage where you have numbers and he can take advantage of that. But what version of Cam Newton are you getting, and what's your vision of how you want to use him?
Well, you mentioned SportsCenter. Dan Orlovsky of ESPN was talking about that last night on how Cam is going to fit in with that offense.
I think the fit's going to be very interesting because if you look at the offense that New England has run over the last 20 years, it's not going to look anything like that. This is going to be an offense that's built upon a dominant offensive line, a really good run game, and they'll utilize a lot of the RPO game and try to find a bunch of one-on-one matchups. Now, Josh McDaniels, the New England Patriots offensive coordinator, was in Denver when they drafted Tim Tebow in the first round, and they did a lot of quarterback run, zone reads with the quarterback. Again, the RPO game, trying to find those one-on-one matchups in the game leverage. And I would expect that the offense for the Patriots this year with Cam Newton will look a lot like the one that Josh McDaniels ran with Tim Tebow years ago in Denver.
Dan Orlovsky on SportsCenter last night. So this is what I'll say to that, Willie, what he just said and what you brought up before we played the clip. The offense is going to have to be different. I do think Cam Newton is going to be the starter. There is no doubt in my mind Cam Newton is coming in there to be the starter. You can call it a quarterback competition all you want, but I believe when they start game one, Cam Newton is going to be under center for that team. I'm not saying Jared Stidham can't at some point in time, but I just don't think he's ready for it yet, and that's why they are bringing in the veteran. Now, with all that said, we're about to see not just how good Bill Belichick is as a head coach. We're about to see how good Josh McDaniels is as the offensive coordinator. He's had Tom Brady for so long to run that offense. Yes, he was a head coach in Denver, but we saw how that turned out. I think the comparisons to Tebow and how he used Tebow are interesting, but now we're really going to see, you know, him earn his money and just how good he can be by working with Cam Newton, because they're going to have to adapt. And I believe that it's possible Cam's going to have to adapt. Cam's going to have to change on some things. How can his body hold up? But those are the questions that I really have, but I believe he's the guy. He's coming in there to be the guy. It's a one-year deal. That gives you time to develop Stidham even more and potentially for next year. But I think Cam comes in to be the starter.
Well, I think there's no question that the ceiling is the highest with Cam Newton as your starter. It's very unknown with Stidham. But the word that comes to mind for me is commitment, right? You should have a very driven Cam Newton who I know has to, you know, deep down be disappointed that not as many people were, you know, the phone wasn't ringing very much, especially with the kind of offers that you would expect of a guy who's been a league MVP. Right, so there's a lot of skepticism about what he has to offer, and it probably has mostly to do with health. Right, it is, you know, we talked about Steve McNair last hour, the stage of his career when it ended with the Titans. You know, there was some skepticism that he had a lot left in the tank, and as it turned out, he didn't have a whole lot left. You know, he had basically 1 year where he still wasn't nearly the player that he had been a few years before. So even though Cam Newton's only 31, you know, it's different for 31 with the beating he's taken, the style of play that he has, unless he's, you know, going to adapt. So how committed are the Patriots to tweaking that offense to play to his strengths? Or is that not the best way to use Cam Newton? Is it better to try to use him in a little different way? Do they have a good enough team that he may not have to carry the ball as many times as he has before to be successful? I'm really curious, you know, in the brilliant mind of Bill Belichick, what his vision is for how you use Cam Newton. Because in the big picture, boy, does it ever affect the picture in the AFC, right? You have a rising Bills team in the East. You have the Dolphins, who won't maybe be as, you know, the easy out that they have been. You know, they've got a lot of assets now that they've coming in. They could be intriguing. Even the Jets, you know, they won 7 games last year, and Sam Darnold didn't play. Remember, they had some games where it might as well have been you or me quarterbacking them, and they still ended up winning 7. So it's not as. But now the Patriots bring back the best defense, and now you add Cam Newton. They're certainly going to bring something to the table here, and so the AFC from top to bottom, to me, is really intriguing now, especially with this this addition by the Patriots.
Yeah, and let me say this, though, because I have laughed at people going, oh, you know, The Patriots were already, I was never going to say they were going away until they were dead and buried and gone. They're just, you cannot rule out Bill Belichick and that team, even with Brady gone. But yeah, they have an even better chance now, even though Cam Newton is not the MVP Cam Newton. Like, nobody is saying he's the MVP Cam Newton, or at least I'm not saying he's the MVP Cam Newton. You have to see what's left, and there are a lot of what-ifs with that. That's why it's a one-year prove-it deal, and then we'll go from there. But I hear what you're saying on the Bills. I believe that the Bills could potentially win that division, but the Patriots get in as a wild card simply because they're so behind now. I mean, it's June 29th, and they're just now bringing Cam Newton in. They can't have mini camps. They're going to have to do everything virtual and then see what happens when training camp rolls around. So I could see them getting off to a slow start with Cam Newton under center and then get hot down the, you know, later down the pike and maybe make it as a wild card. Or it could be an interesting fight for that division towards the end of the season. But I don't think the Bills are going away by any means. I'm still not a huge believer. I have to see it to believe it. But, you know, if they were to win the division and the Patriots get on a wild card, that wouldn't really surprise me either.
Well, my point is it's going to be a very competitive division from top to bottom. It'll be very different than it has been. But what comes out of there, whoever wins that division is going to be tough. And I think you're right in saying there's a better chance of having a wild card out of that division than there has been. Now, there was one last year, right? So maybe that's not as different. But, you know, I think a lot of people in their minds thinking if Stidham was the quarterback, you know, what are the Patriots really a playoff team? Now you have this. But the question comes back to what version of Cam Newton are you getting at this stage of his career? He should be very, very driven. But, you know, he's got a lot of mileage on him. There's no way around that. And so what is the Patriots' vision? What do they think they're getting? They certainly haven't made much of a financial commitment, but they may just be taking advantage of the market there, right? They didn't have to. They took advantage of the fact that, you know, he's sitting around here almost as the calendar gets to July, and he's just on the street looking for a job. So they sweep him up. This could end up being a great story, comeback player of the year kind of thing, right? But maybe not. I still privately would like to know what they think of Jarrett Stidham, right? For a long time, they thought that Jimmy Garoppolo was going to be a really good quarterback. And remember, that was a big thing, you know, behind the scenes. It was written about a lot, that Bill Belichick was really, really ticked off that they traded Garoppolo because he thought he had the guy that could be a guy that could bridge the gap when Tom Brady aged out. But now they've been searching for that guy. So it's going to be a heck of a story.
We have This Is What I Know coming up at 11:45, and what I know for sure, Willie, is I can never tell you what Belichick and the Patriots are going to do. They have their plan. They're not going to share it with anybody else. They're just going to do it, and if Bill Belichick changes his mind along the way, then that's okay too, because they've earned the right to do that. Whether you love them, you hate them, yes, they cheat at times, but they have the six rings to back up some of the decision-making that they have done over the years. So I can't figure him out. I don't think anybody's ever going to figure him out. But like I said, they're not going away until they are dead and buried. Adam wants to weigh in real quick. 615-737-1025. Adam, what's up?
Hey, man. Yeah, I think it's a weird signing. Like, I like it for him. It makes him more dangerous, I think, having a real quarterback. But it's Cam Newton, like, as a person, he's the best guy in the league. Like, he pretty much lives in children's hospitals whenever he's not playing football. Like, he's a good guy. But as a football player, he's a baby, and he's very selfish. So I don't know how – like, the Patriots are known for being a, hey, it's our way or the highway type team, and Cam is, like, very, very Cam central. Like, he's very centered on himself. He likes, you know, taunting – when he's at the top of his game, he likes taunting other teams. Like, none of that says New England to me. So I think it's a really weird fit.
No, it's for sure. Thanks, Adam. I mean, it's a weird fit because Cam's going to have to change. Bill's not going to put up with that stuff. We know that. Bill is going to make this a, you know, these are the rules, and you're going to follow them or you're not. I mean, how many times have you seen they bring somebody in and they're not strangers? They signed Antonio Brown last year, but then they cut him when other things were coming out. So they're not afraid to give somebody a chance. But then they're not afraid to walk away either.
Right, but it's never been the quarterback. That's interesting. They have had guys, though, that have had a fallout with their previous team for one reason or another and had those players come in and give great contributions. So, I mean, the list is obvious. Corey Dillon and Randy Moss and down the road. So I'm sure they have that. But the great thing for the Patriots is if it blows up and doesn't work, they have not made a big financial commitment to Cam Newton. And so, and the same was true of Antonio Brown. They right. gave him a shot. It didn't work. And they booted him, you know, and they were fine. But the quarterback is an interesting one. How about this? I texted you guys this tweet. They have not had a guy start a game that they didn't draft since 1993. Because you're talking about Bledsoe and Brady, you know, for over a generation, right? Brady was 20 years, and then Bledsoe was a good while before that. The last quarterback not drafted by the Patriots to start a game for them, even in the games that Brady missed, you know, the rare times. Remember, he hurt himself. Matt Cassel started a lot of the games. When he was suspended, Garoppolo started a couple of games. I think Jacoby Brissett started a game in there.
Yep.
All those guys were drafted by the Patriots. So the last guy not to start not to be drafted by the Patriots to start a game, Scott Seculese in 1993. Now, there's a trivia question for you.
That is a trivia question that nobody would get. If you
and that was
that
a bad Patriots team. That was a really bad Patriots team.
Well, I guess it led to some good things later on. But, yeah, that's a
trivia. It allowed them to draft Bledsoe.
Yes. If you bring that up on Friday trivia, they're going to be using the lifeline because nobody's going to get that.
Yeah, you'll have to strum the guitar.
Absolutely.
You would have to strum the guitar. By the way, we survived a Friday afternoon trivia without the lifeline, and people still were able to. The trade-off was you only had to answer two questions,
right,
to win the prize. So they didn't have the lifeline available, but we soldiered through. But we were missing that degree of entertainment, Jason. So we did miss you.
It'll be back on Friday, that's for sure. This is what I know coming up at 11:45. Kurt Casale, catcher for the Reds, will join us at noon, and we had to shift some things. Adam Vingan of The Athletic going to join us at 1. Chris Broussard will be tomorrow at 10:15. More coming. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Oh, the Pats are definitely now in the playoff picture. I was one of those people who did not see New England as a playoff football team this coming season just because the questions at the quarterback position and the lack of talent at the skill positions. But now, if Cam Newton's healthy, this offense is going to be built upon a dominant run game, two really good running backs, young tight ends. And so you've got a top two or three defense in the NFL. We all know that Bill Belichick's an incredible play caller. And if Cam Newton's healthy, and he looks like the 2018 version of Cam Newton before he had his shoulder injury, this totally rewrites and changes the storyline for the AFC and the playoffs this season, because this now puts New England right back in the mix to be the AFC East winner division-wise, and certainly one of the two, three, four best teams in the AFC in totality.
Dan Orlovsky, ESPN on SportsCenter last night. Chase McKay, Willie Donick, Darren Donick and Chase on a Monday. Marquise Munson behind the glass. So, Willie, as we talk about Cam Newton signing with the Patriots, there are a lot of question marks surrounding Cam Newton. Can he stay healthy? Does he fit that offense? Can they make him fit that offense? Is he going to jive with Belichick in the Patriot way? Those are things that are going to be answered over time. But I'll ask you this. We've discussed this a lot on the show. We all believe that in the AFC, the top two teams are Kansas City and Baltimore. Agree?
Agree.
But we can't definitively answer, okay, well, which team is number three? Now, I am not for a second saying that because New England signed Cam Newton that they are automatically number three. But my question is, are they now, do you believe in them a little bit more to potentially get to that point at some point in time and take that number three spot? Is it even more wide open now that the Patriots have signed Cam Newton?
Well, the significance of, you know, number three, you know, if you think about it, and I'm trying to think of the format. How many teams get a bye now in the new format? That happens this year, right? There's an extra wild card. Is that right?
I believe it's supposed to. Now, I don't know if anything's going to change because of the potentially delayed schedule and all of that, but that's a good point.
Yeah. But are there still two byes in the first round? Because that would be significant, right? The two top division winners still get a bye, or is that changed now?
I believe it's just number one.
That's what popped in. It just popped into my head. So only the top team gets a bye now. So what is the difference between two and three? I don't know. But I was curious with Orlovsky as he's saying that, the top two, three, four. He's throwing the Patriots out there. Is he thinking about the Titans in his mind? Like where do a lot of the experts see the Titans based on the run they made last year? Because it's just like we've been kicking around for months. It's easy. You can convince yourself that with the loss of some of these veterans that maybe they could take a step back. And you can also envision with the improvements of some of the young players, a step forward, a full year of Tannehill, that they indeed could be a lot better than they were last year. I happen to be in the latter category. I think they will be better. I would like to see the addition of Clowney or something to bolster the defensive line / pass rush. That's their biggest weakness on paper for sure.
Yep.
But I see them in the top four. I definitely do. But the Patriots, this is a wild card, right? This could go really, really well, and it may not go as well. And we're assuming that they're going to come back with the same level of defense that they had last year. And if that's the case, if they have one of the top 5 or 10 defenses, then they're going to be in every game, right? The offense may not have to be great, but I would have to think that they still have some pretty big questions on offense, even take away the quarterback.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And so trying to answer the question, everything you said about the Titans, I believe is true. The Titans have the makeup to potentially be in that top four or maybe even number three. I mean, we believe that they are one of two teams to beat in the AFC South. We put Indianapolis in that conversation because you got to see what Rivers is. But some of the moves that Indy's made this offseason make you wonder, okay, are they going to be there? I think they can be. Houston, I believe they're going in the wrong direction, and Jacksonville is Jacksonville. But there's no reason in my mind that the Titans can't be in this conversation of being, a division winner and being one of those top four teams. But it's not as definitive as saying, yeah, Baltimore or Kansas City, they're going to be number one and number two. You don't know which is which yet. But I just don't think it's as easy to answer that question. New England certainly is going to be in the conversation depending on what happens with Cam. Buffalo, you can't rule out. That division, the AFC East as a whole, is going to be better. I think Miami's still probably a year away. The Jets maybe a couple of years away, even though if you heard Greg Williams on with Floyd and I last week, I mean, he loves his team. He's very optimistic about that defense being the DC there. But the AFC North, I mean, is Pittsburgh better than 8-8? I don't really know. Are the Browns? I think they're better than 6-10, but they're probably in the 8-8, 9-7 range, and Cincinnati is certainly a rebuilder. So why not the Titans? And then in the West, Denver, Las Vegas, the Chargers, I'm just not that big of a believer in any of those teams either. So it just continues to be that why not the Titans?
Well, I think we have a pretty good grasp of the Titans, but in the grand scheme of the AFC, you hit on a couple of intriguing teams. You guys had that conversation with Greg Williams. And as I said before, you can't sleep on the Jets, right? We always laugh at the Jets because they bungle all kinds of stuff. They seem to shoot themselves in the foot a lot. But remember who some of the guys that started games for them at quarterback last year? Luke Falk was among them, right? And they still ended up 7-9. By the end of the year, they had made some strides, right? There usually is a surprise guest of some sort that emerges, right, unexpectedly in any NFL season. I'm not saying that the Jets are going to be one, but if they get good quarterback play, you have to put them in the mix. The other team you mentioned is the Steelers. We had an intriguing talk with Tim Hasselbeck, even though I know you find this hard to believe. Jace, we had a pretty good conversation with Tim, even though you weren't there.
I know. It was tough. I was surprised by that.
But we were able to get through. I mean, he was very saddened coming in that you were on there with us. But, you know, we soldiered through. But he says, listen, Ben Roethlisberger, think about the quarterback play that the Steelers got. And yet they almost snuck in with very subpar quarterbacking, right? But even if Ben Roethlisberger is not nearly what he has been, he's still a giant upgrade from what they had replacing him last year. So, you know, that's a factor, right? So I just think you can envision a lot of AFC teams being in the mix. So it's a deep conference, I think, more so than it was maybe a few years ago.
One thing with the Jets that Greg Williams brought up I asked him about, of just how big of a move it was to sign Joe Flacco as the backup quarterback, and he could not have enough nice things to say about that. And Sam Darnold, you know there's talent there. You're waiting to see the full potential. Obviously, what he has around him is going to help that, but just having Joe Flacco in the meeting rooms and being able to talk to Joe Flacco as his backup quarterback is going to be huge for Sam Darnold and his development.
That's a good point. And so Darnold, but they're going to sink or swim with Darnold, but
sure.
Even if they're, but also think about just had they had Flacco to play a couple of games last year, as opposed to the other guys who were, you know, it was an automatic loss, right? They came into the game with virtually no chance of winning. When you get down to your second, or basically your third string quarterback, you got no shot in this league most weeks, right? It's just not going to happen. So they've made an upgrade there, and they do have some pieces. We'll see. But again, I don't know if I'm just saying I'm not here to say the Jets are going to make a run, but I'm saying there's always a team that has it come together where the experts don't really have them on the radar in the summer.
Yeah, that definitely happens. What do you know? A $25 gift card to Scoreboard Bar and Grill is on the line. You have to tell us what you know. 615-737-1025. You can call or text 615-737-1025. This is what I know. When we come back, Darren, Donick, and Chase. That's right. This is what I know time. You all know something. You just got to let us know what you know. You know? 615-737-1025. You can call or text. A $25 gift card to Scoreboard Bar and Grill is on the line. Willie, do you want to get us started?
I can.
The floor is yours.
This is what I know. We have had a running theme on this show from the very day that I came back from Toronto. When the pause button was hit, March the 12th. On March the 13th, we were talking about this very thing. And in the days that ensued, right before we actually left our studio. And ironically, you're in the studio today, Chase, for the first time in a while. There's a big difference between recommending something and, as we said, making the decision for you, mandating. Today, in Nashville, it is mandated that you have to use the mask with some exceptions, right? If you're jogging, if you're biking, if you're outside, there are exceptions. You can read the exceptions. They make a lot of sense. It's a lot of common sense. But I hope that this works. I think it will, because this is my frame of reference, Chase. When it was mandated that I had to go to study hall at Vanderbilt, it's amazing how often I went to study hall. If it was mandated that I had to be at class rather than recommended, it was a little easier for me to get my butt out of bed and get to class, right? And if it was left up to me, maybe I slacked a little bit more, right? So now I'm hoping that this does right. Now, enforcing it, who's out there enforcing it? You know, I could, back at Vanderbilt, I could slack and sleep in and hope that nobody rode their bike from our coaching staff over to the class to check and see if I was in the class, right? It wasn't the professor. All I had to hope that the professor didn't call the coaching office and said, Willie wasn't there today. So I had to factor that in. But it's mandated now. Wear the mask. right? We've been saying it right from the start. It helps. It cuts down. We're at a critical time. We see the cases going up around the country. We got to do what we can do, right? And I'm hoping that we get to the point where wearing the mask inside feels just like putting your seatbelt on when you jump into your car. It's not about your rights or anything like that. It's about doing what's right for safety. Put the seatbelt on. Put the mask on. It's the same thing. Just get into the habit. I actually did have the feeling, Chase, for the first time when I left my mask in the car and I popped in to pick up food. I had that feeling that I get if I, you know, when you don't have your seatbelt on, if you're going around the corner, you don't put your seatbelt, there's this feeling like, you get, like, oh my gosh. There's that sense of, I didn't put my seatbelt on. What's going on? This is crazy. I think we'll get to that point with the masks. But this is a step forward. It's now mandated. So they've made the decision for you. It's no longer a recommendation. Do it.
Yep. Do what you need to do. And I'm the same way. There have been times where I haven't been perfect at it, but I'm trying to get into the routine of if I get out of my car and I don't have it, I go, oh wait, run back and get it. So I've been trying to do that. So I think this will be good for Nashville, and hopefully we can get these numbers back down to where they need to be. I mean, the heat should be helping.
Got
to
get it down.
Just got to get it back down, because I heard you guys have the conversation with Adam Neuse from the Sounds last week. I am fired up about the potential of this, of having the free agent league in Nashville. But if you want to go see those games live, we got to get to phase 4. And the best way to do that is wearing masks and getting these numbers
down. It's the only way we're going to get there.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. The cases are going up. The only way we're going to get to phase 4 is if we do this and we're disciplined about it.
Quickly, this is what I know. You've heard me talk about the iRacing, and that's what the NASCAR drivers did during the downtime when they were out, when they were quarantining. They raced on iRacing, and Fox televised it. So I have been on it. I have been practicing. And a few weeks ago, I gave you the update that I did my first race. I was 4 laps down and, you know, had some issues, but still finished the race. I've hit a lot of things. But what I know is I have gotten better, and last night I finished in the top 5 running all the laps for the very first time. So this was a big day.
Hey.
Finished 3rd. So I am getting much, much better at iRacing and meeting some people. It's been kind of fun to talk to people on iRacing. So it's a lot of fun. So that was a big moment in my career.
Someday we're going to share with some show, and I think it'd be fun to kind of poll the audience here. Maybe later this week we can do it, but you know, some hobbies that you've picked up with, you know, that you would not have otherwise done. That's a great example, right? Your strides you've made in the iRacing. For me, it's the stat related sim league that you're talking that I've referenced a few times with some of the people in our league, where it's like probability using old stats from old baseball seasons. We've had a lot of fun just filling time with that. I'm sure everybody's got an example or two of some things that they've done during this time that they haven't done before.
I'm going to say this, too, in relation to the mask, because Ben just texts in about this, and it's true. I know this is what I know, but don't be that guy that says that you have a medical condition, and so that's why you can't wear a mask, just because you don't want to wear a mask. Because there are people that can't, because they can't breathe
for legitimate
or whatever.
Reasons.
Yeah, right. Let's let it be with those people. Don't be that guy that lies about it just so you can get away with not wearing a mask. Quickly, let's go to the phones. Nate wants to weigh in. Nate, what do you know?
Hey, guys. So this is what I know. With what we saw last week with Mike Leach and Lane Kiffin at a press conference, we have to have the Egg Bowl in 2020 for the comic relief. Did y'all see what happened? Like what Mike Leach?
That was funny.
Mike, that he pulled his mask and it hit Kiffin in the face.
Yeah.
If we don't have the Egg Bowl, though, how about ESPN or the SEC Network or something do some kind of competition or battle between Lane Kiffin and Mike Leach? Because that'd be some good entertainment.
Yeah, I think it would, Nate. Appreciate it.
That's a good take.
Thank you.
Did you see the video?
Yeah, I did. It was pretty funny.
That was well done.
I mean, you knew you were going to get some form of entertainment having those two as coaches at Lane at Ole Miss and the Pirate at Mississippi State. So you knew that you were going to have that no matter what. So it's only going to get better from here with those two in the state. Willie, when we come back, we're going to talk some baseball with one of our favorites. Kurt Casale is going to join the show. We'll get into all things baseball with him when we come back. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.